Welcome back. Now we're going to meet the candidates for Assembly Seat C. They'll each have 30 seconds to get us started. First of all, Douglas Urquidy.
My name is Douglas Urquidy, and I am running for Eagle River's seat. My campaign's pretty simple. I'm here to reduce everybody's taxes by about 10%. The city's going to be spending $1.3 billion this year in school and city budget. So I'm going to reduce that by 10%, which is roughly about $100 off everybody's house payment.
Okay, let's now welcome Bob Lupo.
Hi, Bob Lupo. I'm 70 years old. I am retired from the United States Army with service during Vietnam with the U.S. Air Force and the U.S. Navy. I taught at UAA. I taught electronics for 9 years at Matsu College there. I have degrees in electronics, philosophy, and anthropology. My ideas for the city is that it costs money to operate a city, and every responsible individual should be willing to pay their fair share to run the city. All we really need to look at is how your money is spent. Is it spent wisely? Is it in the right areas? That's what it's all about. We all need to pay if we want to live in the city.
Thank you, sir. Now let's meet the incumbent, Bill Starr.
Hi. I'm proud to represent the folks of Chugiak Eagle River for this last term, and I think there's a lot of tough challenges ahead of us. I feel skilled. I think I've demonstrated that I do the hard work and ask the tough questions and bring solutions to the table, and I'd be pleased to have the voters send me back to work April 5th.
Thank you. Mr. Urquidy, you've been pretty harsh on Mr. Starr in the campaign appearances of which I've seen you. What's he doing wrong?
Well, he voted for a tax on cigarettes. I don't smoke, but that's just wrong. I mean, if you're conservative, you're not going to be imposing additional taxes on people. I don't believe that one group should pay the burden for other people. It should be an equal, spread out burden for everybody. There was some stuff that happened early on, which I just really don't want to get into it right now, but that's what got me to start thinking about things, and then I just started paying attention a lot more, and I just haven't been happy with how things have been running in the assembly, and I'm decided to start running against them.
Mr. Starr, how do you respond to that criticism and other criticism you've heard during the campaign?
Well, I try not to debate folks. I try to convince the voters to vote for me. But, you know, the issues are challenging. There's many facets to them. I don't make any excuses for my votes. One of the challenges you have, of course, is to convince the other members of the assembly to do that. And we've repeatedly lost 6-5. As vocal as I can get, I still can't convince the other liberal members to go along with the issues, and you have some defeats there. I try to step up to the plate with integrity and hard work and honest answers to hard problems. And I think that's what the people would expect.
Let's get Mr. Lupo in here. Mr. Lupo, you've run before and struggled to get votes. How are we going to be different this time?
I'm relentless. I'll continue to march. I'll continue to put ideas out there, and hopefully I can do something that'll be constructive for the city. I think the people that are on the assembly are doing their best. I don't agree with everything, but who agrees with everything? So I just want to make sure that the people who are running and who are elected are doing things from the heart and not otherwise. And that's the way people should be elected. They shouldn't look at the cut of their clothes or the length of their hair or what religion or race or anything else. They should look at what is in their heart. If they are good for the people, those are the people you want in office.
Okay. Mr. Starr, people here and elsewhere say they'll pay taxes as long as they're fair. How do we determine what's fair?
Well, I don't hear that. First off, my constituents.
They don't want to pay at all.
Oh, no, I think we're getting taxed pretty healthily. And I think more so I hear that we have a spending issue. And so not to deflect the question.
Go ahead.
But I really believe we need to get our spending under control first. And then we demonstrate what's fair taxation against that. And we have a long ways to go yet before we've pulled our spending back into that fair category as well.
Could you give us an example of spending that you would eliminate?
Well, I think we have a Department of Weatherization and the sort of the handout of the state dollars was a managed program by the municipality, and quite frankly, it was a burden, and not all could benefit from it. That was a good department to sort of clean house on and send down there. We're getting rid of the IM program. I think the next one is the guys that monitor the dust in the air and the air quality issues, which we have no control over. So, you know, I think as you pull back the layers of the onion.
When you say we have no control over them, we have no control over the air or the regulations?
No control over the air. You know, so we can monitor the dust in the air, but there's not really much we can do with the dust blowing in from Wasilla. So to have 5, 6, 7 people in that department government once the IM program goes away. There's another example.
Mr. Akiti, why don't you give us your best shot on the question of fair taxes and taxes in general?
Well, I believe we're all overburdened on taxes. But as I understand it, everybody right now, the way that the taxes are, if we own a place, we're paying our fair share, hopefully. If your property is assessed properly, your land value should be roughly about $14 to $15 per square foot. And if it's not, then you're not paying your fair share. And I do understand there's some individuals out there that may not be, and it's time to start reviewing that. And then also, we have a lot of church outfits that own property that they lease out, and they're tax exempt for those properties. I mean, if you've got a piece of property that's worth $1 million and it's tax exempt, there's a problem with that, and we need to start taxing those individuals.
So you would tax churches?
Not the church itself. A perfect example is ChangePoint. ChangePoint owns Cisco Foods, the building. They're leasing it. They don't pay a dime of taxes for that. That's wrong. They need to start paying their fair share.
Okay. Mr. Lupo, let's turn to you. What are the top transportation priorities for Anchorage in your judgment?
We need more bus service in Eagle River. There are plenty of people in Eagle River that aren't fortunate enough to have a vehicle to get back and forth to work in Anchorage. We need to get our vehicles back in operation in that community, in our community. And coming over here today, I was behind one of the large buses, and they use a lot of fuel, and they run continually. And I got an idea that, you know, we could supplement by using biodiesel, we could supplement 20%, and we could cut the price of fuel by at least 20%. And also, if we convert one of the buses to run on straight vegetable oil, that would be incredible. We should take one of them and try it as a test. And then we could grow our own rapeseed and stuff in the valley. We could process that, and we would have fuel to run the buses. That would be a really great way to save millions of dollars in the community and also have cleaner air.
Thank you, Bob Lupo. Mr. Starr, what are your top transportation priorities?
Well, certainly the bus situation's been managed throughout. You know, I've been a fan of economic bus transportation, if you can put it that way. There's no sense in running 40,000-pound buses with two or three people into it in our particular area. But we also need to revisit the Glen Highway. You know, it's time to add a third lane to that Glen Highway and facilitate that traffic coming into the economic center of Anchorage. So, again, it's something to work hard at. And
how far out would that go, or depend on the engineering?
I think from a long-term perspective, you know, at least out past the North Birchwood, heading towards the Hay Flats area, probably needs to do that. It gets awfully scary with the two lanes. Okay. That's time to go with that.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Akiti, your transportation priorities.
Well, for Eagle River area, I do believe we don't need these big buses. The bus drivers that drive these routes, they know on average how many people are on their bus routes taking the buses. We need smaller buses. Going between Eagle River and Anchorage, we need larger buses. And if a bus is coming to Eagle River with passengers, well, they should be able to take passengers back with them. We need to just start reducing. I don't want to have a bus driving down my street at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. I really want to go to sleep at about that time. So it is definitely time to start finding more economical buses and start working around the actual schedule of people.
Okay, let's go to Mr. Starr. There's been a lot of discussion of the Title 21 revision and whether it goes too far or doesn't go far enough. Obviously here, and the question is improving the looks of Anchorage. Let's cut to the chase. What's the least appealing aspect of Anchorage's appearance?
You know, I don't know that we have anything that's overly ugly. I'm not real happy with the trends of the center islands, the center medians on our primary streets. Arctic Boulevard, for example, just went through that. So our road designs, as they implement into traffic chokers and all the others, it just doesn't lend itself to a winter climate thing. And you talk about Title 21, it's been a long process getting there. And as it relates to our specific area, we've got Chapter 10 coming online. And that's really, for our sake, Chugiak Eagle River, to to put it bluntly, we just don't want to have that look of Anchorage. I think we want
and
our large lots.
When do you see this process coming to a final vote?
Well, we've already put several chapters on the rack. I think Chapter 10, the specific land use regulations for Chugach Eagle River, I was happy to introduce those 2 meetings ago, and they're in the mill for public process. And hopefully sometime by June or July, we see appropriate land use regulations for our unique characteristics. That's important to me.
Thank you. Mr. Akiti, can you follow up on what you just heard from Mr. Starr?
Well, I also agree with him. Eagle River Chudiak area is a unique area. We don't want to look like a cookie cutter from Anchorage. Title 21 has been on the burner forever. I think it's no longer the way it was intended originally. And it might be time just to scrap it and just start all over. Because the more you keep putting towards something, you're pulling and pushing, it just gets stretched to the point where you don't even recognize it anymore. So, in the most part, I do agree with Mr. Starr on what he's been saying about this.
Okay, Bob Lupo, what is your assessment of the police department? What kind of marks would you give the department?
The assessment with the police department, I just got through taking the Anchorage Citizen Academy class that they had down there. It's about 3 months long. Everybody should take that class. You become very knowledgeable about what goes on in the police department. And we only have 20 to 22 officers on the streets at any one time. We need more officers out there. If there is one accident, you wind up with 3 or 4 individuals that are in uniform at that particular site. Now we have 16 officers just for that one accident that are left between Rabbit Creek and all the way up to Peters Creek. So we need more officers, and from what I understand, we are getting more. I would like to see a reserve police department where you have individuals that ride along with the current police officers and are being trained at the same time, and then to take care of attrition, you have individuals that are almost fully trained that can walk right into the position, and then you don't have to wait 6 months with them at an academy.
Mr. Starr, you're an incumbent. You've seen the police department up close. Your assessment of the department?
Oh, I think they do a great job. You know, that's not an easy task at that. I think we've been a little bit asleep at the switch with the attrition rates, being able to staff that. Again, action item for me is to get a police academy in the works. Last November and December, I appropriated $450,000 to start to staff up for the academy, and hopefully sometime in late May and June, the city will take the means to bring some new officers online. So they're a tremendous force. I'm very proud of them.
Thank you. Mr. Akiti, you want to get on this topic?
I think the police have a really tough job. It's almost as tough as being a firefighter. They're doing an awesome job. They're putting their life on the line every day. We just had a few officers that they've been injured in the line of duty, and it's a horrible thing. So I would give them an A- on their effort, and we do need more officers. And the academy is a good idea, and also we should start looking and recruiting other officers from other departments out from the lower 48, such as they do out in the villages, and start bringing some of them officers in here too, which would be a lot cheaper for us than getting all these academies going.
Okay. I want to stick with you, Mr. Akiti. How much money have you raised for this campaign, and who's contributing to your campaign?
I've actually refused money from people. I'm not accepting any money. I believe with the way the economy is right now, it is really hard for people, especially with the energy crisis that we're about to face. I keep telling people, take that money, put it away, or buy groceries, or donate to the Red Cross to help the people in Japan. Myself, I'm a helicopter pilot, and I've been working towards my commercial license, and I had money saved away for that, so I've taken all that money that I had saved for my pilot's license, and I put that towards the campaign.
Since you'll have to report it, how much are you going to spend, do you think?
To the limit, $5,000.
Okay. Mr. Starr, same question for you. How much money are you going to spend, and who's contributing to your campaign?
Well, our APOC report was due today. I reported $17,000 and change. I've invested in myself. I've put in $5,000 of my own money for that, and I think I have 95 contributors, anywhere from $5 to $500. I don't take anything that I feel would stress that folks out. They call me as well. I don't take union money. I have basically just a diverse group of local folks.
On the other hand, has the unions offered you any money?
I have gotten the APDA endorsement, the police union endorsement. Home builders have done it. There's a couple other PACs that have suggested that they do that. But, you know, I'm a conservative by nature. I like to get my message out to the voters, convince them of my platform, and move on. So it's to me, it's not a money grab. It's what I need to get my message out. And I think I've done that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Mr. Lupo, we hear a lot about government improving the economy. What can government do to improve the economy?
Our government just
Yeah, the here. Local government, municipal government.
Improve the economy. Well, maybe we could have more jobs if we set up a biodiesel plant, for instance. We could wind up having jobs available for those individuals. We could have individuals that are out there harvesting the seed to convert. We could wind up with some jobs, and we could wind up reducing the cost of the city to run transportation. So that would be one mechanism. Basically, that's pretty much the only thing that comes to mind right now.
Mr. Starr?
We need to be open for business in the planning and permitting department. We right now are too cumbersome. We're wrapped up in bureaucracy for planning and permitting fees and costs. I recently submitted a resolution which was adopted by the Assembly encouraging the Siri wind farm, $40 million plus of a private investor, Siri coming in and getting that up and running. That not only relieves the pressure on our natural gas, but encourages jobs and developments of infrastructure that ultimately becomes taxable.
And how close are we to a Siri wind farm?
I hope soon. I hope that MLNP and Siri sit down as they're directed to this week and negotiate a power purchase agreement. Granted, it'll just be 2 or 3% of our production, but it's a start, and I think we need to diversify that.
Mr. Akiti, what can government do to improve our local economy?
The biggest thing is to get out of the way of the private sector. We stop taxing them, we reduce their tax burden. If a company knows that their taxes are going to be reduced, they're going to start reinvesting back into the community, which is automatically going to create jobs. I work in construction, and I see this here on a day-to-day. They're imposing additional taxes on supply houses, and it's just getting out of hand. If you cut that back, then they can start hiring more help. And that's the biggest thing government can do, is just to get out of the way and let the private sector do its job.
We're about out of time, but Mr. Lupo, we do have one final question for you. The municipality hires a lobbyist for around $100,000 a year. Is that a good investment?
I don't know. Could I be one?
I don't know. I guess you could apply to Mr. Flynn or Mr. Starr.
I guess lobbyists, they're the people that are going to take you out to dinner, and they're going to show you a good time and hope that they get your vote. And I think the way government needs to be run, it's by logic and reason, and not by who is going to give you whatever they want to give you. Do your job correctly. Find out what is best for the people, what is best for your city, and don't rely on somebody just offering you.
We're about out of time. Thank you very much. We'll be right back with the Assembly seat E candidates. Thank you.